Alan Shepard's first space flight was 50 years ago today. Pilot training reformers gather in Atlanta. And EAA wants us to give adults intro flights. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, Cinco de Mayo, 2011. Today marks the 50th anniversary of Alan Shepard's launch atop a Redstone rocket in Freedom 7, a Mercury space capsule, which became the first human spaceflight made by a U.S. astronaut. NASA is celebrating the golden anniversary this week with events at the Kennedy Space Center in Florida. Yesterday afternoon, the U.S. Postal Service staged an unveiling of two new postage stamps, one commemorating Shepard's historic flight, the other honoring NASA's Messenger probe, which in March of this year became the first spacecraft to orbit the planet Mercury. NASA notes that the two missions frame a remarkable 50-year period in which America advanced space exploration through more than 1,500 manned and unmanned flights. This morning at 9 a.m. Eastern, to mark the actual day of the anniversary, there will be a ceremony at the Cape Canaveral Air Force Station, which includes a recreation of Shepard's first flight. Mercury astronaut Scott Carpenter and members of the Shepard family are expected to join NASA Administrator Charles Bolden, along with about 200 workers from the original Mercury program. The General Aviation Pilot Training Reform Symposium got underway yesterday in Atlanta, Georgia, chaired by the Society of Aviation and Flight Educators, and after a day filled with speakers and opinions yesterday, today's focus deals with breakout groups, tasked with distilling the data and viewpoints into lists of specific recommendations. Those groups will report back to the main group this afternoon, and ANN will be there. We'll have some detail for you tomorrow, and the presentations of many of yesterday's speakers will be archived by Aero TV. The Experimental Aircraft Association predicts that more than 130 events will help dreams of flight become reality for perhaps tens of thousands of future aviators during the second annual International Learn to Fly Day on Saturday, May 21st. Local EAA chapters are leading the way by offering complimentary adult orientation flights, helping connect aviators with those who have always wanted to discover flight. The model is similar to the Young Eagles program, only for adults. The inaugural International Learn to Fly Day in 2010 drew more than 40,000 people to events. The U.S. House of Representatives passed a resolution last year declaring the third Saturday in May as International Learn to Fly Day. Your organization is welcome to participate, whether it's an EAA chapter or not, but you'll need to hurry to get listed on EAA's International Learn to Fly Day website. Get more details at www.learntofly.org. 4Flight Mobile HD 4 is now available for download in the iTunes App Store. Tyson Ways, co-founder and principal developer for 4Flight, tells ANN that this release takes 4Flight forward in several significant ways and lays the groundwork for additional features to come in 2011. Now appearing on an airport's page is a new segment titled A/FD. Click that and you'll see the relevant page for that airport from the FAA's Airports and Facilities Directory. If the airport is big enough to have warranted multiple pages in the book, simply swipe left or right to get to the next page. Also available is a new wider nav log that shows important metrics like summary trip information, leg times and distances remaining, and ETA. A new personal waypoints feature allows a large number of waypoints to be imported from a text file, or you can use the map to add a waypoint for any location. Find more complete details in the text version of this story, dated May 3rd, at aero-news.net. Cessna says it has positioned its newest mobile service unit at Preferred Jet Center LLC near Atlanta at Cobb County Airport McCollum Field. The Atlanta MSU, which makes 12 in total, will serve Cessna Citation customers primarily in central and northern Georgia, southeastern Tennessee, and northeastern Alabama. Cessna plans to position 6 more MSUs this year, including one in Canada and a second in Europe. The units provide planned and unplanned maintenance in customer hangars and carry many tools and equipment found in Cessna Citation service centers. They can handle a wide variety of procedures, including engine exchanges. Aspen Avionics President and CEO John Uzakai and co-founder and vice president of product management Peter Lyons were recognized by New Mexico Business Weekly's annual Who's Who in Technology Award last Thursday. The ceremony paid tribute to 28 honorees selected by a panel of local technology veterans. Uzakai commented, quote, At Aspen, we work hard to stay on the cutting edge of avionics technology, and these efforts are fueled by the entrepreneurial spirit that started this company, unquote. Lyons added, quote, building certified avionics systems is not for the faint of heart, and so we continually find ways to meet the challenges and yet stay true to our core values, unquote. Both men are active pilots when they can get some time away. Still ahead, simulators can now model wear on engine parts. Moon rocks are on a visit to Georgia today. And Boeing's Phantom Ray has made its first flight. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, May 5th. I'm Paul Platt. WSI, Weather Service International, has introduced a new online version of its pilot brief service, which allows pilots to quickly receive a clear and actionable view of potential weather impacts and optimize plans accordingly. The company says the benefits include quicker aircraft turnaround times and improved mission planning and safety, among others. Pilot Brief Optima's new mapping engine allows high-definition convective weather depiction and enhanced global overlays. The company says that combined with flight plan and airspace overlays, the HD weather information improves route planning and builds confidence in decision-making. The new release also enables a high level of personalization and mid-task customization to further streamline pilot workflow. Over the next few months, WSI says it plans to release Pilot Brief Optima for iPad, a lockdown browser version, and a kiosk version for FBOs. You can get more details in the text version of this story, dated May 4th, at aero-news.net. AAI Test and Training has been awarded a $9.7 million contract to deliver a radio frequency simulator for the U.S. Air Force's Electronic Warfare Avionics Integration Support Facility, located at Robins Air Force Base in Georgia. The facility tests critical components, subsystems, and systems for compatibility and performance, and evaluates hardware and software interactions in both electronic warfare systems and integrated suites. Here's an interesting application for computer simulation. Lufthansa Technik AG is using simulation software from ANSYS to simulate wear and tear on aircraft components, particularly jet engines, to prolong service intervals and create new ways to repair used parts. The German company is part of Lufthansa Group and is one of the world's largest providers of maintenance, repair, and overhaul services for aircraft. Lufthansa Technik performs its own research to investigate blade damage due to bird strike and gradual erosion resulting from particles in the air, and can now use structural mechanics and fluid dynamics simulations to perform studies in areas such as structural and thermal loads on different engine modules for several engine types. The FAA facilitated a four-hour safety stand-down April 30th in conjunction with a Bonanza fly-in at South Carolina's Greenville Downtown Airport. Dwayne Pitzenbarger, the FAA Safety Program Manager for South Carolina, notes, quote, "We have safety programs designed to educate pilots and others, like mechanics, on things that we have learned after analyzing accident data. We try to conduct as many programs as we can and encourage all types of airmen to participate," unquote. Pitzenbarger said the FAA tries to improve aviation safety by discovering new ways to approach safety and learning how to identify risks and ways to reduce them. Joe Frasher, airport director of the Greenville Downtown Airport, commented, quote, "Safety at the Greenville Downtown Airport is our number one goal as well, and we are so fortunate to have an active FAA office to help," unquote. If you missed Saturday's seminar, Pitzenbarger says the next one at Greenville Downtown Airport is scheduled for June 2nd at 6 p.m. Georgians have the rare chance to touch a nearly 4-billion-year-old piece of moon rock at NASA's Driven to Explore traveling exhibit. The mobile multimedia experience immerses visitors in the story of NASA. The exhibit will be at the Fernbank Science Center in Atlanta today and tomorrow from noon to 8 p.m., It will also be at the Mayfest Arts and Crafts Festival in Carrollton, Georgia, on Saturday from 9:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. The centerpiece of Driven to Explore is the opportunity to touch a lunar rock sample brought to Earth by the astronauts of Apollo 17 in 1972 on America's last human mission to the moon. The rock is one of only 8 lunar samples made available for the public to actually touch. And finally today, Boeing reports its Phantom Ray unmanned airborne system successfully completed its first flight April 27th at NASA's Dryden Flight Research Center at Edwards Air Force Base in California. The 17-minute flight followed a series of high-speed taxi tests in March that validated ground guidance, navigation and control, and verified mission planning, pilot interface, and operational procedures. Phantom Ray flew to 7,500 feet and reached 178 knots. The flight demonstrated basic airworthiness, and with additional company-funded flights will prepare Phantom Ray to support potential missions including intelligence, surveillance and reconnaissance, suppression of enemy air defenses, electronic attack, strike, and autonomous air refueling. Craig Brown, Boeing's Phantom Ray program manager, commented, quote, "The first flight moves us farther into the next phase of unmanned aircraft. Autonomous fighter-sized unmanned aircraft are real, and the UAS bar has been raised. Now, I'm eager to see how high that bar will go," unquote. It's commonly observed that the last U.S. human military pilots have already been born. This technology has exciting possibilities. Hopefully, that level of risk reduction will never make war an easy decision. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Doug Stewart of the Society of Aviation and Flight Educators defines the problems which are being addressed at the General Aviation Pilot Training Reform Symposium, which wraps up today in Atlanta. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.